Welcome to the Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. This simple, scripturally sound preaching and teaching of the Word of God will direct you to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Follow the Shepherd's Voice into the green pastures that God has purposed for you. There, you'll find rest for your soul and the fulfilled Christian experience you crave. God bless you as you listen.
You're welcome to church. This is the third Sunday of the month of February, the month of love, as it's known as. And for us, it also is our month of marriage, family, and relationship enrichment. And it's good to see all of you in church today. Ask your neighbor, so how did you spend Valentine's Day yesterday? Ask your neighbor, did you do that which was good and godly? All right. And ask your neighbor, who was your Valentine? What did they say? Jesus is your Valentine. All right. Jesus, you're my Valentine. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, about 3 weeks ago, I got a message from a pastor friend of mine that really excited me. This is somebody that I've been trying to get to come and minister here, but it had never really worked out. And my paddy brought himself by sending me a message that he was going to be in town for a couple of weeks. So then we started the negotiations, because all he wanted to do was to come around and fellowship and everything. I told him that you can't do that. It is not allowed. I had to talk until finally he accepted to be here today. And I'm so glad to have my brother and my friend here with us. Hallelujah. He's somebody that I've known for many, many, many years. We go so many years back. And I think that I'm in a position to speak with authority about him. I can say without any shadow of doubt and with a lot of certainty that he's one of the most anointed pastors and teachers that I know personally. Amen. And, you know, the evidence of the grace of God upon his life, as I've described, is that every church that he has pastored, God has used him to start so many churches. But every church that he's pastored, that church had flourished fantastically. And that is the only evidence that you need of a person's grace and of a person's anointing. Hallelujah. About 13 years ago, God led him and his beautiful wife to start a church called the Calvary International Christian Center in Leeds in the United Kingdom. Ask your neighbor, do you know where Leeds is? And there is no Leeds in Ashiaman. All right? Not yet. But it's possible that it can happen. We are still watching. And God has used them so powerfully. They built a very vibrant church, a growing ministry. It has a number of branches. And they are doing so well by the grace and by the glory of God. And today, I'm happy to have my friend here to bring the word of God to us. And I want you to open your heart, open your mind to receive whatever God has in store for us. All I know is that we will never be the same and that our lives are going to be tremendously blessed. I don't want to talk plenty. So with Jesus' joy, will you please join me and let's receive the ministry of the founder and the senior pastor of the Calvary International Charismatic Center, my brother and my friend, the Reverend Chris Wilson Ando. Give God glory. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. We give you glory. We bless your holy name. Somebody open your mouth and begin to thank the Lord for his mercy and his grace. Lebayato brandoria bayala brakasoria bayala babaya. Ide brokasoria bayala baba. My Lord and King, the one who gave his life for me, I'll raise the banner of his name until the nations call. I come, my God and King, oh, is life. Oh, I raise the banner.
Clarity and illumination to your people. Let our lives be transformed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Amen. I want to acknowledge the angel of the house, my senior brother. Like he said, we go way back. And Mama Dorothy, God bless you. And then The one sees in the house, the other sees not here. Caleb, God bless you. And then the pastors, God bless you. Oh, put your hands together for them. Amen. And all those that have made this church what it is. And before I say anything, I am preaching under protest.
I didn't come to preach. I wanted to come and enjoy my brother's fellowship. So I need to register that I'm preaching under protest. And then I've just told him there's somewhere in the Bible, vengeance is mine. Full stop. I didn't see anything else. My Bible ended at vengeance is mine. So we'll leave it there. All right. Before I start, I have some books. I just told your pastor, he writes music, I write books. So I have, I think 2018, God gave me, it was like an open vision. He asked me a question. If Christ was a disease, how many people, a contagious disease, how many people have you affected with that disease? How many? No, flu is a disease, isn't it? We didn't have COVID, so I didn't know anything about COVID. And so he said, if Christ is a disease, then how many have you infected with that disease? Either if you come into contact with Christ, with you have a disease, and you don't catch the disease, then it means that you don't have that disease. Isn't that true? Either you don't have the disease, or the disease is very mild. So if you're a Christian and you come into contact with somebody and don't affect the person with Christ, then there's something wrong with you. So I wrote this book, The Contagious Church, that the church is supposed to be a contagious church. You know, Acts chapter 2, chapter 1, the church was a quarantine church. They only met in the upper room. The people around didn't know anything that was going on. The Lord asked me, if your church was to close today, how many of the neighbors will miss your church? If the neighbors will not miss your church, then your church is a quarantine church. It's not a contagious church. Because in chapter 2, when the church became contagious, immediately what happened was all the people around the neighborhood got saved. 3,000 of them. The following time they gave a number was 5,000. Then the following time was 15,000. That is a contagious church. So I wrote the book, The Contagious Church. Then the Bible says that go to the Antius laggard and learn of its ways. The wisdom from the four little creatures. They are four little creatures, the Bible says in Proverbs. And so this is strength in weakness. Look at the ant. It's very tiny, but it's very strong. It's stronger than any of the... Because if you look at the size of the ant and the amount of... the size of the house they build, that should tell you something. So I wrote two books, Power and Synergy, how to use your power to join somebody else's power to build, like the ant and then the spider. He's in the Buckingham Palace. He's in the White House. He's the most hated creature, but he's thriving everywhere. Why? Because he has a wisdom that we don't have. So that those are the wisdom keys that we can learn from those four little creatures. And then, this is my latest book, Built for Purpose. In life, we have users, we have builders, we have abusers, and we have spoilers. Which one are you? You are either building, or you are using what was built, or you are abusing what was built, or you are spoiling what was built. So everywhere, I mean, like, all of us are abusing the environment. We are using them by abusing the environment. And all of us are building, or we try to build something that somebody else will come and use. The builder has a different mindset to the user. And the abuser has a different mindset to the user or the builder. And the spoiler also has a mindset that we need to worry about. So that is Built for Purpose. And today I was told that it's for marriage. How many are about to get married? Or how many are single?
How many are just about in the middle of jumping? And how many have already jumped? Okay, all right. So I wrote a book, Before You Jump. Some of the things you need to know before you jump. So I'm going to preach from this book today. All right, because I was told that it's a singles. But let's read the Bible so that we can take off. Is that okay? All right, Romans chapter 12, verse 9 to 21. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulations, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, giving to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, and bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine. Full stop. Verse 20, therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, mine stopped at vengeance is mine. It didn't continue, so it's my Bible. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. Okay, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him drink. For in doing so, you heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Here ends the reading of his holy word. Father, I pray that you bless us in this moment. In Jesus' name, amen. So the long and short of everything that I've read is that don't be selfish. I could have titled my message, Don't Be Selfish. Because all that we've read is saying that do not be selfish. The worst person you can be married to is a selfish person. Is it okay for me to move? I don't like standing in one place. I feel conscious when I'm standing, especially when I'm standing on a high place. The worst person you can be married to is a very selfish person. And the problem with selfish people is that they don't know they are selfish. In other words, all of us are selfish. But we don't. Selfishness is like when you are sleeping. I'm yet to find somebody who admits that I'm sleeping. When you are sleeping, are you sleeping? No, I'm not asleep. I'm not sleeping. In the same way, when you see somebody with selfish, you are selfish. Not me. I am not selfish. Pride is also the same thing. Me, I am humble. I am proud of my humility. I am a very humble person. But if you are going to marry, okay, so let's start first things first. How do you, before you even think about relationships, before you even think of marriage, the first person you need to fall in love with is God, obviously. Amen. The second person you need to fall in love with is yourself. Okay. How many love yourself? You know, I expected you all to put your hands up. But I'm going to ask the question again. How many really know you enough to love you? Think about the question again. Because to love yourself means that you must know you. Do you know you yourself? Are you really in touch with yourself, your personality? If I was to ask you to describe your personality, can you tell me who you are? Because if you don't know you, who are you going to present to somebody else? Hello? If you don't know you, you are presenting yourself to a man or you are presenting yourself to a woman, who are you going to present? You may misrepresent yourself.
because you don't know who you are.
That's
right. So you need, and for so some of us, we don't know ourselves and we don't like ourselves. And that is the sign that you don't like yourself, that you can't be alone. Can I? You, 2 minutes alone at home, you are feeling like crazy. You are trying to call somebody. You want to discuss. You want to call somebody. It's because you don't like your own company. When COVID happened and the lockdown happened, I don't know about Ghana, but in the UK, the percentage of divorce went sky high. And the reason was that people were discovering themselves and discovering their partners, and they could not handle it. So as soon as COVID, the lockdown was over, there was many divorces, because people were now discovering that they didn't like themselves and they didn't like their partners. That's why I'm asking you, do you know you? What is this that makes you happy? Do you know it? Because if you don't know yourself, then there's no way you can present yourself accurately to anybody. Are you getting it?
Yeah.
So you need to, number one, know yourself and love yourself. Because if you love yourself enough, then you'll be able to present a lovable version of yourself to somebody else.
Amen.
Amen. Number two, the second thing I want us to talk about is that the way you choose a partner is different in different instances. For instance, the way you choose a girlfriend is different from the way you must choose a wife. A girlfriend is for bragging rights. So you want either the tallest guy, the one that has six pack, the one that has a car, because you are going to show him off or show her off to your friends. So it's for bragging rights. But a wife or a husband is not for bragging rights. It's for serious business. So if you choose a wife with a boy's hat on, you'll be making a bad decision. I don't know whether you're getting what I'm saying. I wrote in this book, the reason why some people choose, the reason for their choices. The reason why people choose the people they choose. Ask your neighbor, why do you choose, why are you choosing that part, that person? If you're already married, ask your spouse, why did you choose me?
She said she was having mercy on me.
I'm not getting involved. Let me stand here. Okay, so many people enter into marriage to end the burden of paying bills alone. Number two, people also marry because they are growing. Their biological clock is ticking. So anyone who comes now, I will take it like that. I preached somewhere and I said that don't eat when you are hungry. That was the title of the sermon. Don't eat when you are hungry. Do you know that when you are hungry, any food tastes nice? When you have finished fasting and you are hungry, any food will taste nice. So when you are burning, any woman or any man looks nice. You ignore all the red flags because you are hungry. And a hungry man, all you want is to eat. Sila, I'll leave it there. Oh, I like the person because he has a good sense of fashion. He dresses well. He's always smelling good. He knows how to combine colors. He has the right perfume. He
knows how to combine colors. When I was trying to propose to my wife, I only had two pairs of suits, one brown one and one green one. So, and I got married in the green one. You're coming to face me. Because we didn't have money, I married in the night. Saturday night. Because I calculated that if I marry in the afternoon, there will be a lot of people. As for Saturday night, because of church on Sunday, a lot of people won't come. And I was a choir director in the church at the time. So I told my choir, you are providing drinks, whether you like it or not. And then I told my sisters, you are cooking. And then I bought my wife a dress. We only had £300. I bought my wife a dress. Her dress was £120. My ring was £18. This was nearly 30 years ago. This year will be 30 years. And I used my green suit, was a little nicer than the brown one, so I used the green one. And her ring took the rest of the money. I know people that got married, you know, spent over £30,000 3 months after ours, and today they are divorced. So, and as for me, my colors was terrible. I've told the brown and the green. Then I used to love waistcoats, you know, the multicolored. I had about 6 of them. One is pure pink. Another one is red, yellow. I had multicolored. So when I wear the green now, add the pink. When my wife came to the house, I said, this must go. This must go. I'll find some pictures for you. So, all I'm saying is that if you are looking at his colors and combination, you might not miss the right person. What you need to have is bright eyes for the future. This person is, do they love God? This person, are they ambitious? Are they, you know, do they have the right ethics for work? Rather than clothes, because clothes you can buy, perfume you can buy, haircut you can change. Appearances can be altered. Are you getting what I'm saying? So it must not be, I mean, 30 years on, I don't remember the last time I looked at my wife's body. Hey, you are very, I'm being honest. Because it goes beyond that. Am I making sense? It goes beyond that. It's like when she buys a new dress and she puts on, I don't see it. Because it's not about the dressing. It's about the person. Amen. The next one, popular with the ladies or popular with the guys. He's the most popular person. Oh, he's a politician. No, he's already married with somebody. He's married and you are the side chick and you don't know. Am I doing well? Let me ask before I get in trouble. Some people also marry a wealthy person. Your parents will say that, make sure you marry. You know where we are coming from. We are from humble background, so make sure you marry a rich person. But the rich person also comes with a slap or two. So be careful. Number 6, some people make their choice solely because of looks. And some also marry because it is what to do. All their friends are getting married, so they also have to marry. It's that time of year. It's that time of age. You are going towards your 30s, so you need to get married. And your friends, your best friend just got married, so you have to find somebody. So the first joker that comes to say hello to you, you want to marry the person. No, it's better to stay for a long time and married to marry the right person than to go in and marry the wrong person and come out. All right. So, some also marry somebody because they are overly possessive and jealous about you. Oh, he likes me so much. He doesn't like me talking to anybody. Hey, sister, are you sure? Be careful, oh. Men by nature are visual beings. Therefore, most men fall for women who dress provocatively, sexy clothing, exposing part of their bodies. Such desires may lead to a lot of men to marrying certain types of women without considering other important factors like character or spirituality. Amen. All right. So, I want you to ask yourself, why would I choose the person I want to choose? There's a scripture when Abraham was sending his son, his servant to go and look for a wife for his son. Abraham told his wife, to put his hand under his thigh. I don't know if I can do that here. Can I have Caleb come? You'll be the only person I can use. So, assuming he is Abraham and I am the servant, he says that, Eliezer, I said, put your hand under my thigh. And in those days, for you to put your hand under somebody's thigh like this, it means what the person is making you do is a serious thing. I don't know whether you are getting it. Because especially a big man like Abraham, you don't just go putting your hand under his thigh. Go and read the scripture. Put your hand under my thigh and swear to me that you will not pick a wife from this neighborhood, but you go to my father's house and get me a wife from there. Which means that going to find a spouse is a very serious business. It cannot be done by circumstances. Please take this. It cannot be done by just, we happen to be in the same church, or we happen to work around the same area, or we sit in on the same bus, and so I like his perfume. No, it's something that somebody puts their hand under their thigh to swear before they go in search of a wife. It's a serious business. You know, I wrote in this book that my mother said when I was going to get married, my mother said to me that if you are privileged enough to go to the cemetery to interview all the people that are dead, if you can do that, this is what my mother said to me. You will find out that about 85% to 89% of the people who died before their time. And out of the 85 to 89%, about 90% of those who died because of the wrong spouse or the wrong sex. In other words, if you marry the wrong person, it can end your life early. This is what my mother told me. You know, before I got married, anytime I say this, people are like, hey, are you sure? Before I got married, PJ, I was praying 3 hours every day for 6 months. Because I knew where I was going. And I was a choir director. I had about 40 people in the choir, out of which about 98% were singles. You know what they used to do? And I was one of the most eligible bachelors in the church at the time. I had just finished school. I was doing a good job. My car was the car they used for weddings. It was my car or the pastor's car. So you can see that the car was nice. Almost everybody who did the wedding around the time would use my car. And I had a 2-bedroom flat. So some of the ladies were like, oh, Chris, can I come and cook for you? Can I come to your house and come and cook? So when they come and they are cooking, they will change their clothes and then leave their the clothes they came, then they will change into the clothes to cook. Then when they finish, they will change back and leave the one they cooked with down there. So one day my pastor came to my house to visit. And he said, "Hey, Chris, what's going on here? Whose is this?" "Oh, so me too," you know, a very happy guy. "Oh, this is Sister A. Oh, this is Sister B. Sister C." "Hey," one papa said, "hey, they are moving in, oh. Can't you see they are moving in?" One sister had brought three different types of change of clothes. They were moving in. I didn't know that they were moving in. I was just minding, I was a sanguine type of person, just enjoying life. So one that came for rehearsals, I had bags, different bags. So, "Here, take your own. Here, take your own. Hey, man, the people, "I show you too. You too." They started crying amongst themselves. So my pastor said, "Listen, you don't do it like that. You have to pray." So he put me on a prayer for 6 months, 3 hours every day. And my prayer was one, that the day I see her, let me know her. And we used to do 3 services. And I used to play the keyboard. So like brother is doing, I was playing the keyboard. First service had just finished, so we're just about to start second service. And I saw her coming through the door. She was wearing a blue jumpsuit. And I was there playing, then I saw her come through the door. Soon as I saw her come through the door, I was like, Throughout the service, as to what the pastor said, as to what even my choir sang, I don't know what happened. But my focus was right on her. And I knew within me that this is her. Because she was opposite of everything I wanted. I wanted a tall girl. She's this height. I wanted a very... You see, she's worse than me. When she comes here, I'm dead. But I knew inside me that this is the person. I hadn't spoken to her before. So when as soon as the church finished, the grace finished, we're waiting for the third service, speed. And she was talking to her brother. I said, "Hello." I went there before I gathered my mind as to what to say to her. So when I got there, and she also doesn't smile very much. She has a stern face. Her resting face is a frown. So she was like that. And I was confused. I didn't know what to say. So I said, "Would you want to join my choir?" Then she looked at me and looked at the guy and said, "Is this guy correct?" "You haven't even spoken to me. You don't know whether I have a good voice or not." I said, "Join the choir." My raps was all finished. Meanwhile, as I was trying to talk to this girl, my pastor was calling me because praise and worship was starting. The keyboard is in the corner. And she was leaving. She wasn't even stopping for me to talk to her. She was going as she's working. And I'm like, "What is your name?" And the whole half of the church was calling my name. "That pastor is calling. Pastor is calling. Pastor is calling." But I knew that was... Because at the time, what I didn't know was that she was from another branch. She just came to visit. But when I managed to speak to the guy she was talking to and got her number and everything, called her. The first day I called her, we spoke till the morning. Now, the funny thing about it is that we were in the same year. We're in the same city, we're in the same Cape Coast. I was in Infanspem. She went to Wesley Girls. And I hated Wesley Girls with a passion. For 7 years that I was in Cape Coast, I never went to that school. That's how much I hated them. When they come for intercore and all those things, I don't go near them. I'll go to anywhere. I'll go to Holy Child. I'll go to Vansman. I'll go to Agri. I mean, I was known everywhere because I was part of the pop chain. I was the leader of the band, Pop Chain. So I was known in Cape Coast, but I hated them that I didn't go there. But I believe that God was preventing, because we went to the same, you know, what do you call us? Vacation classes. Every year, I either go to Laboni or I go to Aquinas. The funny that the years I went to Aquinas, she went to Laboni. The year I went to Laboni, she came to Aquinas. So we never ever met. Meanwhile, her friends and my friends were friends. But we never ever like met like this. So as soon as we started talking, we realized that we had so much in common. It's like we had known each other for years. We spoke to the morning. When I put the phone down, in those days, you know, mobile phone had just come fresh. I don't know whether you remember, some of you are not born. The one that has the big back, Motorola, the big one. When you put on the flip one, when you put it burns your ear. It makes your ear hot. So I used to put a towel and then I wet the towel, then I'm talking. Because we didn't have speakerphone then. Anyway, I don't know what I'm talking. But I'm trying to say to you that it's a spiritual thing. So you cannot just look at the person and say, I've seen this guy, I've seen this girl, so I've fallen in love. I told my son the same thing, that before you jump, 6 months, 3 hours, pray. He's getting married in August this year. I said, 3 hours every day, 6 months, pray. Because if you pick the wrong person, your ministry is finished, your career is finished, your spiritual life can even be finished. Amen. So to choose, you don't just choose. Choose prayerfully. And when Eliezer went, Eliezer said that, I am going to pick the one that serves. This is the test that I'm going to do. The one that will not only give me water to drink, but will give my camels to drink is the one. I wrote in this book that interviews for a job that you only go 9 to 5, they sometimes do, I don't know if they do it here, sometimes they'll give the job on a temporary basis, 3 months probation to see whether, and because you are on a temporary, they don't give you access to some places and some what do you call files you can't have access to because you are a temp. So you can go for certain meetings, but some meetings you are not allowed to go to. In the same way, you can give a guy probation to be your husband, but block them from certain points. Because an interview for just a job that only lasts for maybe 4 years, they take their time. Sometimes the candidates are 40, but they're only picking one person. They go through screening and screening and screening. First interview, second interview, third interview. And they have panel. How many have been to an interview like that? There are about 4 people sitting and asking questions. In the same way, before you pick one person, get some friends or get some people you trust to be part of the panel. You understand? Yeah, don't say, oh, I found the person. So, you know, the guys who say that, don't tell pastor, don't tell anybody. We are in a relationship, but let's keep it on the low. No, they are with 5 different people on the low that you don't know. Amen. So make sure that there is an interview process. Get my son will do like this. Then, hello, how are you? What's your name? Where are you from? I'm interviewing because my son has pointed at this girl. Check him out for me. Then I'm doing the interview. Then as for the mother is worse. Mother will sit you down. Who is your father? Who is your mother? By the time you finish, like, you have been vetted for real. Because if you make the wrong choice, it can end you. People have been depressed. People have died early because they picked the wrong person. Amen. So, are we okay? So, when Eliezer met this woman, and then she started working, giving water to the camels, he said, "Who is your father? Take me to your father." And when they went, said, I want this girl for my master's son. Your work ethic is also something that is an indicator of whether you make for a good husband, a good wife. My wife always says that she didn't like me because I didn't look nice, especially my dressing. But I was in charge of all the equipment. We used to use a temporary place, a community center. I wake up at 5 a.m. I had a van. So I'll pack. We used to have a garage. So I'll go there. It's not this type of slick instruments. Those times we have jumbo speakers. How many know those? The ones? Yeah. And I will carry all of them, sometimes in the snow, carry all of them into the van and drive the van. This is, I'm talking about 5 a.m. Drive the van to church and then move the equipment from the road to the place where the church is. Move it in and set up the equipment. By the time I'm finishing, the ashes are now coming. I help them to set the chairs up and go home and go and shower and come before first service starts. If I'm late, trouble. And so she always used to say that when she saw how hard working I was, especially in the house of God, that was for her the tick. So the way somebody works, some people work hard in the house of the Lord, but they don't have any ambition. So also check that one. Me, by the time we finish talking, I've built about 3 houses. I always say that I'm like a giraffe. My neck is long and I see far, and my wife is like a crab. So our combination is very good. Because as for her, no bill will pass. She has to pay. She has to pay. Me, I'm building castles in the air. By the time you finish, we have built 3 houses more, we're in debt. Easy, no problem. So the combination works. Amen. All right. So are you okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Please stop me when it's time. Now concerning the things for which I wrote to you, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, because of sexual immorality, let each man have his own wife, and let each woman have her own husband. Let the husband render to his wife the affection due to her, and likewise also let the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her body, but the husband. Likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Do not deprive one another except with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer and come together again, so Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. But I say this as a concession, not as a commandment, but I wish that all men were as I myself. But each one has his own gift from God. One is this. One in this manner and another in that. Amen. Amen. Paul was saying that I wish you were all like me, that you will not marry. That will be. Because ask yourself, as soon as we get married, my body does not belong to me, it belongs to him. And his body doesn't belong to him, it belongs to me. So ask yourself, can I give my body to this person at every time they want it? A lot of us don't count the cost. But the Bible says, which one of you intending to build a house does not first sit down and count whether they have enough? Otherwise, they will start and then they will not be able to finish. And people will mock at them. I'm trying to get you to think before you jump. In this book, I have a chapter. Okay, so the scripture I was referring to is Genesis 24. Yeah? I just realized I didn't give you the scripture. Eliezer one in Genesis 24, all the way, the whole chapter. Red flags. I have a chapter in this book called Red Flags. No, red flag is there for a reason. A red flag is a red flag. I don't know whether a red flag is what? Don't explain a red flag away. I don't know whether you got what I said. If you see something, that is why it's always good to have somebody who is next to you who is not emotionally connected to this relationship, who you trust. I don't like her the way you do. I don't have butterflies in my stomach when she talks to me like you do. So you are missing some red flags, but I can see it. So I'm pointing out that, you know, this girl, she's rude. This girl, she's lazy. Look, she didn't iron her clothes well. Oh no, she was in a hurry. No. It's happened once, it's happened twice. Anytime you go to a house, it looks neat. But every time she's pushing things underneath just before she opens the door. Red flag. Look at the way they treat people they think they don't need. The way they treat their siblings. The way they treat the waiter. You know, they go for a restaurant. The way they treat the waiter is the way they'll treat you in 5 years. If they are not nice to their sisters, their younger sisters, in 5 years, don't be nice to you. When the young sister call, oh, why? They bang the phone on them. It will be your turn next. Red flag. Listen, it is okay to interview 40 people and pick one. Oh, if I start, people will think that as for me, I'm cheap because all the people in the church will say I've been out. No, no, no. We are friends. We are friends. But I'm watching. In this book, I write how to make yourself findable. Ladies, they say we don't choose. When I say we, I'm adding myself to you. They say we don't choose. But I tell you, in this book, Naomi taught. Ruth taught Naomi how to make herself findable. Say that place yourself in a strategic place and glean from here so that when he comes, he'll see you. There's a way you can put yourself in that place that the guy will see you. And when they see you, they must see you at a good place. They see you working, not that you are flirting around. And when you are going to sleep in the night, make sure you find where he is sleeping and sleep at his feet. Show humility. Yeah. Show humility. You can make yourself findable. You can put yourself in a place that, and the Bible says wisdom is justified by children. And wisdom is good for profiting. When you have wisdom, you can get everything. You can You can choose a man without him knowing that you chose him. How many? It's in the book. I don't have time to go through all that. And if you are a man to choose, and we talked about it, make sure you prayerfully choose. If you're a woman, also be prayerful in your choice. And then when you choose each other, it doesn't mean that that is it. We have every right to break it out. Break it off now. Even to the day before your wedding, you can break off the relation. If it's not working, it's not working. Don't force it to work. It's better to break a relationship than to break a marriage. Am I making sense? Yeah. It's better. It's better that, I went with this person and then I didn't marry the person. I married somebody else. It's better. All the ladies who used to cook in my house, the day I picked this girl, you know, when and she had to relocate from another branch to our branch because of me. Chuck her like that as she's trying to open the door to go. They're not happy with her at all. And it's fine. Because they thought that, because they came to my house to cook, then there's some, no. And I was not bothered at all. Oh, you led me on. It's okay. This is serious business. And the funny thing is that 30 years on, if I chosen any of those people, by now I won't be where I am today. Any of them. And you know the ones that used to pray because they know you like prayer. Today they don't even go to church. Some of them don't even go to church. You know, they pray and then they'll give prophecy. 30 years on, some of them don't. And this girl she had just come to the faith fresh. But there was something about her. 30 years on, she's one of the best known women preachers we have, at least around my area. Yeah. And so it is not a simple thing that, she's fine, I like her. She has nice hips. She has good bum. No. That is for boys. Bible said, therefore shall a man. Somebody say a man.
A man.
A man means maturity and responsibility. So if you are not a man, please don't go near choosing. A guy came. He was chasing a girl in my church. And then the girl brought the guy. Said, pastor, look at this guy. I asked the guy, so what do you do? He said he wants to be a boxer. So I asked him, how old are you? He said, I'm 26. I said, dump him. I told the guy, dump him. 26, you're not thinking about becoming a boxer. When will you become a boxer? If you want to be a boxer, you start at the age of 16 and 18. Not 26. You are not thinking about becoming a boxer. As we speak now, he's still thinking about becoming something. The guy is married with 2 children now. I told him, leave this boy, he's not a serious boy. And I told him, and I wrote in this book, you cannot push a packed car. Your duty as a woman is to push, help push, isn't it? You help push, you are a help meet. So you are supposed to help push the guy. But he should be in motion before you can help push him. Are you getting it? So if it's a packed car, no ambition. It's like, I'm waiting to go to Abrochi. And you have been here, you finished school 5 years ago. You are waiting, your uncle says they'll do connection for you. He's not a good person. Because you go and push the cars that are parked outside and see whether you get far. I don't care how strong you are, you can't push it. That is why it's very good to relate, become friends first. Don't start with sex. As soon as sex comes in, your judgment is all clouded. Are you getting it?
Yeah.
Nobody drinks a Coca-Cola can and keeps the can after. Bible says a virtuous woman who can find her worth is far above what?
So make yourself
valuable. In my language, you say akitesia. It means that you hide yourself. Do you get it? You hide yourself. Don't. I went to pastor a church in South Africa. Hey, and you know what they wear? The person's breast size is, let's say, 38 double D. This person is wearing 32 B cup. So it's like, and then they have a low neck like that. So everything is. One day I came to church, I say, me too, I started, okay, let me remove my boxer shorts. Oh, pastor, you can't do that. I said, but that's what you are doing. Because I am seeing your underwear. So let me also take my trousers off. So that you see mine, then we can be happy in the church. Don't be attracted with that, things like that. Valuables like minerals, like gold, like diamonds and everything is hidden in the rock. You have to dig for it. A valuable woman must be hidden so that we dig for you. I always say that when you are passing under, you know, the bridge and the boys are going, shoo, check your dressing. I mean, why would anybody go shoo? It means you are advertising the wrong things. They won't bring me here again, no. Please, I beg you, before you jump, think on the right things. Prepare your mind, prepare your spirit, prepare your heart. Pray! And have a standard. If the guy doesn't meet the standard, this doesn't meet the standard, move on. It's better to be 40. My PA is 40 years old, 42 years old. She's not married. She just bought a house. She's a very happy woman. Very, very happy person. I said, if you are over 40 and you want to, then let me know. I will ship you. Hey, why are you looking at? It's okay. I said, don't mind them. Don't mind them. You're a good man. Is it doing the media? God bless you. After church, we'll talk. She's a very happy lady. Loves her company. Doing very well. She's happy. I said, sister, be happy. When the right man comes, we will celebrate. We don't go in and out. Stay where you are and build where you are. I pray for all of us that will make the right choice. Stand to your feet. If you are believing God for a husband or a wife, just lift up your hand wherever you are. Don't be shy. Can I pray for you? Is that okay? Then please come forward. I'll pray for you. Father, for the boys, I pray for wisdom and clarity to make the right choice. I pray that you will not make a mistake, that God's wisdom will be over you, that you open your eyes to see the right person, that when you see, the spirit within you will bear witness with the spirit of God that this is the right person. I pray that, Lord, you open their eyes, give them the grace, give them wisdom, give them, oh God, even Father, the right mindset to choose the right person in the name of Jesus. I pray for my sisters, oh God. I pray for the spirit of attraction. Take away the veil, oh God. Let them be seen in the name of Jesus. I pray, oh God, that if there's any attitude within them that makes them unattractive, take it, remind them, show them, remind them so that it will be taken away. I come against any curse from the mother's house, from the father's house, that prevents marriage. I break it in the name of Jesus. I declare, oh God, that a year by this time, there will be a testimony that all of these people, my sisters and my brothers, will find their soulmate and be married to the glory of your name. Because your word, they say, so God, that you are the one that does exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think, according to the power that is at work in us. Bless your people. Open their eyes. Make them findable. Make them choosable. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Is there any couple that are in a relationship? People are in a relationship. You are here, you're in a relationship. Just lift up your hand wherever you are. Pray for you. Father, I pray for them. Every hand that is lifted up, I pray that you give them the resources, give them the wisdom, give them, Father, everything that it takes to walk on the road of marriage and be successful at it. In the name of Jesus, we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Let's welcome Pastor.
Hallelujah. How many of you have been greatly blessed this morning? Yeah, I mean, some of us are married, but we've been so blessed because we have people that we're thinking about, and this message applies to them. You know, as I was sharing the things, I was thinking about my son and my daughter. You see, sometimes as parents, you kind of don't realize that your children are growing and they are getting there. You know, because in your mind they are still little. You know, but from here, I'm going to have a meeting with him. Yes. But he shouldn't come and tell me anything at this time. He has to finish school and everything. And then I'll show him what to do. That as he's finished and then this sort of ideas are coming, he should come and see me. If he notices anybody, he should just do this. Yeah. Then I'll start the interrogation. Come on and give Jesus a mighty hand clap. Amen. It's been a blessing to have Reverend Chris here. And, you know, he's talking about revenge and vengeance and all this thing. My response is that what can. Yes, what can. But I really am trusting God to have a standing arrangement with him anytime he is in town. He has to pass through here. You can't just come to Ghana and go like that. Yeah, but it's been a blessing to have you. And I believe that we received nuggets of wisdom today. Before you jump, there are important things to look at and consider. I think that apart from that decision to give your life to Jesus, perhaps this decision about who to marry is the most critical. Yeah, because it either makes or breaks you. And, you know, for those of us who are already married, any baby ako. Ewa, you don't have anywhere to go. Just stay where you are. But there are other categories of people here. There are those who are in relationships. And based on the things you've heard today, he talked about red flags. You've seen a lot of them. Significant ones. Perhaps this message or this sermon is a lesson from God to you, that the decision that you have to take, that you're struggling with, it's better that you take that decision now. Today. The closing ceremony is today. Yeah. Yeah. Seriously. Let's end it today. Because you fasted and prayed about this red flag thing for some time now. It's not changing. Do you see? Then for those of you who are not in a relationship yet, you've received wisdom to guide you. I think that all of us have received something. For those of us who are married, just to quote Socrates. He said, by all means, marry. If you end up with a good wife, you'll be happy. If you end up with a wife who is not good, you become a philosopher. Yeah, it's a win-win situation. All right, so there's so much we have received today. And Reverend Chris, thank you very much for coming through today. I'm so glad that we were able to work this out. God bless you. And I'm going to have an arrangement with him. He didn't come with a lot of the books. They are just 1111 copies, and they are mine. Okay, but I'm making an arrangement with him to organize copies of the books. We'll make them available here. The good news is that they are also available on Amazon. So you just search for Reverend Chris Wilson and those books, and they will all pop up there. But it's just giving us a foretaste of what we can experience in the other books. I'm particularly interested also in the Contagious Church. Actually, his church is known as the Contagious Church. And I think it has a connection with this book that he wrote. But we are so blessed to have had him today. And let's celebrate Jesus this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Now, perhaps somebody just invited you to church today. But if you were to look at yourself well, the pastor talked about you must know yourself. A very important question you want to ask yourself is, do you know Jesus as Lord and Savior? Are you saved? Are you born again? I'll be very happy to pray with you. This is a season of love. But the greatest love is the love that Jesus exhibited. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You need Jesus in your life. And I'm prepared to pray with you. Perhaps you're watching us and you've never taken that quality decision to surrender your heart to Jesus. I want to lead you to do that today. And as every head is bowed and every eye closed, if you need Jesus as your Lord and Savior, would you please pray this prayer with me? And let's all join in as a way of encouraging them. Say, dear Lord Jesus. Say it again. Dear Lord Jesus. Today, I come to you just as I am. Oh God, please forgive me for all my sins. Please wash me with the blood of Jesus. From today, I am yours and you are mine. I'll love you. I'll serve you. I'll follow you for the rest of my life. Please write my name in the book of life. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Thank you, Father, for receiving me. In Jesus' mighty name, let everybody say amen.
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. We do hope that you were greatly blessed. For further inquiries, please call, WhatsApp, or send an SMS text to +233 243 886 622. God bless you.